A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Oh, what's good, my man?
Broadcasting live from Kima Boardwalk as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. Yep, we're at Kima Boardwalk. Come on out here. We're hanging out inside the Galaxy Adventure Party Room on the Kima Boardwalk. Got a nice view of the water from here. And if you come out here and go and register at our promo table, you have a chance to win two of those Power On Electrical Bicycle Company e-bikes. It's $4,000 value. So come on out here, and we're going to be hanging out at all sorts of different places across Houston every single Friday this summer as part of our summer circuits. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. So a lot of stuff to dive into over the course of today's show, and on this Ask Gallant Anything Friday, I figured, hey, let's just keep this conversation going about the best breakups in sports. We're going to push Jeremy Booth back to 115. Some interesting responses from you, the people. Tiger Woods and his SUV's windows was quite the divorce back in the day, says 409 Josh. Josh, I don't know why I said it like that, like I'm from New York. What about Tiger Woods' wife finding out he was cheating on her? That was a bad breakup. Oh, right you are. Right you are on that. That is something else. That one, the way it went down. Because we were all like, wait a second. This is what Tiger Woods does? This is what Tiger Woods is all about? Tiger Woods is a noted poon hound? Like, that was a discovery and a half. I remember when that went down. I felt like I lost a little innocence inside, you know. I felt like at that moment in time that I would never believe in a little thing that we like to call love. Some others as far as breakups go. Deshaun Watson in Houston. Yeah, that one was a weird one because it started off with Deshaun Watson just saying, hey, man, I'm never going to play for you again. And then all of a sudden, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. At least 24 different places, different people accused him of sexual misconduct. 24. Yeah, man. Not good. Not good. And then, and on top of that, it took the Texans a while to get rid of him. That Nick Caserio got as much for him, and with how bad Watson has played, I really think a lot of you people, yes, I said you people, who give Caserio crap, I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to give him crap, at least because of that move. Like, C.J. Stroud would have to flame out completely. Will Anderson would have to flame out completely. Derek Stingley, Nico Collins, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock. The list goes on and on and on. A lot of things would have to go wrong for this to not work out so well. Also, hey, as far as breakups go, this one, I don't really agree with this one, but Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald? That wasn't a breakup. What are you talking about? I think just Kurt Warner just retired. The Eagles, Terrell Owens and Donovan McNabb team. Oh, yeah, that one was brutal. T.O.'s doing sit-ups in his driveway. I mean, in T.O.'s defense, he had just played a Super Bowl and a broken leg. Eagles fans hated him when all that went down at the end. Hated him. Was it merited? I don't know. I mean, it was the best Super Bowl performance in Eagles history at that moment in time. Before Nick Foles. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. The last segment, some people asked Paul, what's your favorite coffee stop? I said, I don't like the coffee stops as much as I like just H-E-B, Texas Pecan Coffee. Someone texted in, Black Rifle Coffee is better. Well, unless there's Texas Pecan Black Rifle Coffee, like, okay. You know, I get that a lot of people like the Black Rifle Coffee. I get it. I've never had it myself. If they endorsed me, I would 100% drink it all the time, and I would say that it's my favorite coffee. I would. But for now, I just got to tell you what I like, and it's El Tiempo Margaritas, and on top of that, it's H-E-B Texas Pecan Coffee. Okay? Okay. Hey, what else do we have here on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday? Eric the Driver asks this doozy. Paul, you can no longer live in any place you've previously lived. Money is not an issue. Where are you moving to? I would really enjoy Japan, I think. But I'd have to learn Japanese. South of France would be good. I have a vague understanding of France. I really enjoyed Croatia when I went there on a yacht week trip, and I don't even know if I'd have to learn their local language to hang out there. But probably somewhere by the water. I've never been to Key West. I know there's lots of cats roaming around on Key West, so that might be a whole lot of fun too. So I'm thinking somewhere tropical, somewhere where the old paste machine can get out in the sun and get skin cancer. That's what I'm looking for, a place like that. I want to become a wrinkly raisin when I'm dying, you know, at the very end. So all those places would be good. Anyway, it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Having some difficulties on the internet side of things. So we'll get to some more of your questions on the other side. You know how to get aboard. Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Coming up next, Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider, will join us to talk about the state of the Houston Astros, Lance McCullers' success, the offensive struggles outside of last night, and a whole lot more. It's the Paul Gallant Show, live at the Kima Boardwalk as part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at RiseHealth.com. R-I-I-Z-E Health.com. You enter the promo code 975, and you know what I'm about to do. This is always so fun to do this in public. Paul, what's Rise Health all about? Well, I'm talking about the Red Mac strips. I'm talking about pants tents, everybody. These things get you back in the game. They're revolutionary dissolving strips. You put it under your tongue. Sildenafil, Tadalafil, Oxytocin. Boom! Harder, yes. Longer-lasting results. It's discreet, unlike this advertisement in public. Easy to use and up to five times faster than pills. All you got to do is go to Rise, R-I-I-Z-E Health.com. Complete a quick questionnaire. Connect with a U.S. board-certified doctor, and you'll get the Rise Red Max strips right away. That promo code 975 gets you 20% off your first order. Rise up, you'll rise up with RiseHealth.com.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting from Kima Boardwalk as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. And joining us right now on the HR&P guest line, the one and only Houston Astros front office insider for ESPN Houston. He is Jeremy Booth. Jeremy, I'm just going to rip off the Band-Aid. Lance McCullers is a starter.
Now, because he's able to start games, stand up there for the first pitch to make him a starter. But I'm happy he's having a better run of it. Right, we've seen this out of him before. The question's always going to be longevity, not whether or not he can do it. And right now they need it anyway, so it's working out for both of them.
I mean, the last two starts, though, have been really good. I get they're against very bad offenses. It doesn't shake your opinion at all.
No, not one bit. I mean, he's got a body of work now that's, what, a decade long, right? And he gets hurt when he throws too many innings the way he does it and can be breaking balls. We can't deny that. Just because he can stand out there and start, let me put it this way. Would you rather have Lance McCullers out there every third year for 20 starts, or would you rather have him every night in the bullpen for 80 leverage innings a year? Which would you rather prefer? Because for me, the value that stays on the mound and stays in the bullpen and sets stuff down and keeps him off the IL is what we're looking for, doesn't mean he can't take the ball and start the game as the first pitch and throw some strikes. He just, you know, the routine, it will good with him missing 2-3 years and then getting back out there for 20 times, I'm okay with it. That's a you call. But for me, I'd rather have him not available every night.
Okay. Well, what if, now riddle me this, okay? There's a movie, and it was based off of something that actually took place in baseball a few years ago. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a 12-year-old boy, and he breaks his elbow, and then all of a sudden, after a couple of surgeries, his arm is really, really amazing, and he throws a ball back from left field to home plate at a Cubs game, and then he becomes the rookie of the year. So what if Lance McCullers has just become that? You know, with all these surgeries, yeah, they finally figured it out.
Yeah, then we've got some bionic stuff going on, and he's a lot older than 12. I say, Chet, I don't know if that matches, but I hear where you're going with it. You know what? If you want to dream that way, EJ, we can dream that way. You know what I mean? We can dream. We can write a script, but you know, I'm just hoping he doesn't, the next time we see him is in 2028. That's all I'm saying.
Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider, on the HR&P guest line. So we've had lots of conversations about the Astros and their offense. They have really struggled, in particular in the first inning. They're one of the worst teams in baseball, the first inning at the plate. And I know how you felt the lineup order. It is really important to how this team fares. Hell, we even saw Dusty Baker in a recent interview talking about how, like, he felt it was such an important thing to have Jeremy Peña higher up in the order during the 2022 season. So right now at the top of your order, you've got Jeremy Peña leading off. He has been thriving in that role. You got Isak Paredes batting second. Without Yordan Alvarez in there, you have Altuve batting third, and you have Christian Walker still batting in the cleanup spot. I really wonder, Jeremy, at what point the Astros are going to think about moving Walker back in the order, because I know that he has had a couple of contributions over the last couple of weeks, but you take a look at his numbers and you compare it to cleanup hitters across the sport, and, I mean, they're very, very lacking.
Yeah, you know, he's got to be Christian Walker. He's going to have to move down the order as soon as Alvarez is able to return. They got to lengthen that line, right? I don't know what options you have until Yordan comes back, but I do know that when he does, you kind of don't have a choice, and not moving him down might be considered malpractice. You know, with that in mind, you know, you started off with Jeremy Peña thriving at the top of the order, and I would, it boggles the mind why we haven't done that, or why they didn't do that sooner. But now that he's there, it's about putting people around him to continue to lengthen that lineup and drag guys in. I don't think Altuve hits third forever. I think he's moved over to the two spot, and I think Alvarez is in the three spot, and you find some shuffling. Maybe it stays the way it is. I don't know. You know, I think there's some interesting pieces, but I do know that Christian Walker's going to have to get out of that fourth spot and move down a little bit. He needs to get into a place where he's going to get some more fastballs and some more danger type of situations, some more ambush-type situations where pitchers have to throw to him or there's nothing on base, and he can kind of, you know, swing hard in case you hit a type of approach. Because right now, that's how he's boxing himself into being hitting anyway. So putting him in a better spot besides four, where he has to be more of a high-contact guy, then is really in the imminent future as soon as Alvarez.
Gotcha, okay. And that does stink that they're going to have to wait for Yordan, because the latest communication that we got from Dana Brown was that on Wednesday, when he joins the Astros flagship, as he does every single week, is that much like when he finally told us that Yordan Alvarez had an actual fracture in his hand, he's still at, I guess, 60%. I mean, it's gotten comical, Jeremy, the way that the Astros medical and training staff have at least through Dana Brown or through Joe Espada, explained what Astros players are dealing with. As someone who's been in a baseball front office, how does communication get this bad? And how does double-checking things like the Astros seemingly have failed to do when it comes to so many injuries get to a point like this? Because we're at the point now with them, if we weren't already, where they just look incompetent regularly. And we're living in the hospital capital of the United States, and this is a problem for a professional baseball team.
You know, all that's fair. I would say that if I'm in Dana's shoes, this way it's gotten this bad. The biggest thing I'm concerned with is the misdiagnosis part. I want to know why we're always missing. I want to know why guys' rehabs are always going off the rails. I want to know why people aren't returning. And I have major questions to how not only we're developing guys internally as to why we're getting to those places, but also why we don't know any better. And, you know, from a data standpoint, you know, I'm sorry, my question was always, you know, they don't really owe us anything. They don't have to tell the media anything. They don't. And they don't. They can just keep it very general and move on, and no one's going to fault them for that. But the answers they give are so opposite of what the actual truth is that it becomes something where either Dana and company, and I'm only picking Dana because he's a GM, not because it's him doing it. But if you're at the front of that and you're telling the media and the public one thing, and it's a 180, either you're lying, which is never something anybody wants to say, or they're lying to you. And if it's incompetence or them lying to you, and you're telling the latest version of the truth, as somebody I once knew used to say, then that's a problem, because now you've lost credibility with the organization, and people are going to look at you as if, you know, you can't plan, prepare, and people look at you as if you don't know what you're doing either. So if I'm Dana, I've had enough of this, and I hate to say it this way because I hate to call people's jobs, but I'm gutting that medical staff because I'm not getting the right answers. And the incompetence is being gentle. It's being gentle. And I think that you got to kind of go from the bottom up and say everybody's gone. We're starting over. People know what they're doing.
Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider, with us on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. I'm with you. I feel bad for Dana because Dana's the one that keeps on getting put in this spot, and he has to answer questions about, like, calcification and things that he should never have to talk about. Joe Espada has been put in a couple of difficult spots on this same front as well. So I'm with you here. I at the very least, liked hearing Dana when talking about it on Wednesday, saying, yeah, there will probably be some changes going forward. But, man, I wonder what changes you can make with the guys who are currently running it. And honestly, they should be the ones making themselves available to talk about this stuff. Now, when it comes to Dana Brown, I don't know if you saw last night where Dana Brown was getting into it with Pittsburgh Pirates officials and umpires over the wackiness of last night's game, where last night's game began with an hour and 15-minute delay that featured no rain before another hour and 45-minute delay. And Dana Brown was pissed off about this afterwards and started yelling because he wasn't thrilled with the way things were going. I actually really like this element of Dana Brown. Brown is always somebody, Jeremy, that I've seen at the podium, and he's talking like a politician and being positive and optimistic. But seeing that he was saying something that pissed off some of the Pittsburgh Pirates last night made me like him a little bit more.
Yeah, Dana's got a lot of fire. You know, he's not somebody that likes to sit in mediocrity. He's not somebody that likes to lose. He's not somebody that likes, you know, being on the other side of it. And, you know, if you're him and you're fighting every day and the players in the club are fighting every day and you're watching a club you know is better because offensively they are, or should be anyway, a better club. Ability-wise and what they're playing like, it's gonna come out at some point. Especially if you think you're getting shafted or on short end of the stick. When you're not playing as well as you can, or you're losing, or any number of factors, everything that goes against you seems to be like it's piling on. Right? It's not as simple as it taking it in stride because the games start to matter. And as you get to the midpoint of the year, you approach that point. The second half, there's some decisions to be made. They've got, you know, Framber Valdez and a vault of other things they need to make decide on that they haven't decided on yet, simply because of the reason, right? So there's a lot they have to do and a lot of decisions, these games, each one at a time. Every at-bat starts to matter. Every inning starts to matter, every pitch starts to matter, every situation off the field starts to matter because it dictates what your next moves are. And Jim Crane comes to you and says, what are we doing? And so Dana's probably spilling over a little bit of frustration, and deservedly so. This team has not performed the way they should offensively. And, you know, I tell you, they were 500 club all year, so have you, so have many people. But the struggles offensively and medically are baffling, and if I'm Dana, I'm losing my mind. That's about it. That's probably what's.
And what's crazy is, I mean, they're a game and a half up on the Mariners in the American League West. We just saw the Rangers have an epic choke job last night. They're up 3-2 on the Tampa Bay Rays with the bases loaded and two outs, and somehow they allowed two runs on what should have been a routine ground out because someone forgot to cover first base. Pretty amazing play if you haven't seen it already. And the Mariners seem to be falling back to earth because their offense, much like the Rangers' offense, is not very good. So, yeah, I know Dana in front of a microphone is going to be positive and optimistic, and he thinks that the offense is going to get going and they're going to get on a run at some point. But I'm with you from this perspective at the very least. Like, right now the offense is what it is, and I think that to expect it to get better, especially when you've been getting great play out of Jeremy Peña and great play out of Jake Myers, guys who you weren't probably expecting to get this kind of play from to begin the year. I mean, I know Yordan's going to come back, but how much better does Yordan make this offense? It's a weird spot to be, and I know the big problem for them as far as if they wanted to bolster this offense is that just given the way that their farm system is set up, they don't really have a lot to offer in terms of training for something in the here and now. Hey, it's great to finally see a lefty bat and Jacob Melton that's in the lineup a couple of times, but after that, yeah, I'm really curious as to what kind of moves they can make. When he was asked about maybe making a move earlier, Jeremy, Dana Brown said that, yeah, we're always in the market for pitching. And I thought it was interesting that he brought up pitching before the offense.
You say it this way. If you ask Dana going into the season where he thought they were going to be fine, he would tell you offensively. I mean, we always knew the rotation was a little bit light. I mean, everybody knew that. And, you know, I think Dana felt, and I know Dana felt, that he had some depth in AAA that could come up and shore up the bullpen, and he did some innings that way, right? But I don't think he anticipated what they've run into offensively, which is why he's thinking about his depth, his need has always been on the mound. And so I'm going to say it this way, right? And I obviously don't work for the club. I've never worked for the club, and let's just get it out there. I never would or will work for the club. No offense to anybody that's there. But I'll say this. Jeremy Peña hitting in the top of the order was about as no-brainer a decision as anybody could have made in the last 15 years in this game. And they took 2 years to get the analysts out of the way. And if you listen to Dusty Baker, it was longer than that, right? He had to fight. So if you're messing up that decision, then I question your process from top to bottom with the guys that are moving the X's and O's around. I want to know what you're doing. If I'm Dane, I have zero confidence in that. And then I'm looking at Alex Cintron, and I'm issuing a direct challenge. Joe has spotted Alex Cintron to get my all-star professional hitters clicking. Because I've got Jake Myers playing far better than anybody ever thought he would, except for the analysts who've given him so many at-bats, you know, that it's unusual, if putting it gently, to see how many at-bats this guy's gotten to make himself a major league hitter. Okay, so for me, I got some significant challenges and questions going on in the clubhouse. And so when Dana talks about pitching, he knows he needs arms. He doesn't think he needs bats. He shouldn't need bats. He needs arms. Might need an outfielder. Might need one more. He doesn't need five more. Right? And the way that they're playing, they need some overhaul. They need some guys to get off the roster and move around. If you were just doing this where money wasn't an issue and years weren't an issue, you're moving guys. So that's why he's talking about pitching. That's still going to be their glaring need. And the offensive personnel he's got that they have on that roster is good enough to win. They need to turn that around because this division's up for grabs, even at 500. This is an up for grabs division.
He is Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider. I will say that I'd gladly work for the Astros, but that's because I think they pay a little more money. But I would still do this show. I would want to do both. I would want to pull a Doug Gottlieb. Jeremy, what's going on with the Future Stars Series, futurestarsseries.com?
Now, right now, I'm actually I'm on location. I was on location earlier, out of the country. I'm back in the country on location, going to see some players, saw some guys that are 17, 18 years old that will be 16 years old, first round draft picks in the next year or two. that will be in Houston this summer playing at University of Houston and San Jack and Houston Christian, as well as Episcopal High School, the venues that we have our events at. Right there in the month of July in the city of Houston, some of the best players across the planet will be there as we form into the stars of tomorrow. Currently, I am driving by Oracle Park up here in San Francisco, and looking for find some more guys to bring down there to our fine city. So it's a good time. It's an exciting time as we build forward in draft operations and help the players move ahead. So looking forward to July.
Jeremy, always good hearing from you. Good luck as you continue to get this thing going, and we'll see you soon. Have a good one, man.
Yeah, man. All right.
He is Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider. 713-780-3776 to call up the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call up the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are 90 days away from the start of the NFL season. Do you want to hear the time an NFL player who wore number 90 roasted my mom? You will on the other side. This actually happens. Stick around.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Yes, football right around the corner. We are 90 days away from the start of the NFL season. It's getting close. Very close. Who's the best number 90 in NFL history? Is it Julius Peppers? Is it TJ Watt already? Is it Jason Pierre-Paul and his special hand? Don't play with fireworks, kids. I know we're getting close to the 4th of July. Don't play with fireworks. Javon Curse was a fun one. Super freak. Ndamukong Suh with the Detroit Lions. DeMarcus Lawrence. Or could it be 2006 first overall pick that disappointed many but probably was the best first overall pick that could have been made in that draft? Mario Williams? Mario Williams had a pretty successful career, for those who don't know. Mario Williams, sure, I mean, you know, he only with the Houston Texans for a little bit of time. But Williams, over his career, had 97.5 sacks. I mean, that's pretty damn good. We were talking about some of the guys that had a ton of sacks. That's only, I think, that's less than 20, less than J.J. Watt. But people looked at him and they're like, oh, this guy doesn't care. Oh, this guy doesn't try. Then you've also got first overall pick in 2014, Jadeveon Clowney, who is still in the NFL. He has been all over the place. He has played since 2018 for six different teams. Texans, Seahawks, Titans, Browns for 2 years, Ravens, Panthers. Is he a free agent right now? Honestly, I'm not even sure if he's on a team at this moment in time. Whatever the case, and I'll look this up as we play this audio, because he was released by the Panthers last month. That'd be funny if he came back to Houston. And over the course of his career, how many sacks does Clowney have? I am actually curious on this front before we toss to the fun audio. 58 sacks over his career, so definitely not what you're looking for. But I think as far as defenders go, this guy was one of the best run defenders in the NFL. Maybe an effort level. That's always something that was frustrating. I know Bill O'Brien always wondered about him as a worker bee. He had a reputation in certain cities as a dirty player, specifically with the Philadelphia Eagles. There are multiple games that Clowney has played against the Eagles where he hit Eagles quarterbacks hard, whether it was Nick Foles or Carson Wentz, with the Texans and with the Seahawks. And Eagles fans got very mad about it, specifically my mother. My mother is an Eagles fan. So when I was working in Seattle, one day I decided, you know, I'm going to call my mom and see how she feels about Jadeveon Clowney, because there is a Texans, not Texans. There was a Seahawks-Eagles game, and Clowney lit up whoever the Eagles quarterback was at the time, leading to this exchange with my mother.
What did you think about the play
where Jadeveon Clowney hit Carson Wentz from behind.
Jadeveon, oh my goodness, you were naughty. You were just a naughty boy. You know, after McDougal knocked him down, didn't quite have to bang your helmet into his helmet. I do like Jadeveon's play.
Yeah.
He was effective. I don't know whether you want to assassinate the other quarterback, but there you go.
Football's a violent game, though, Mom, as I've said before.
It is. It is, Paul. You're lucky I let you play it. But I've come to my clown. I feel like he's my bad son. You know? Like, he's bad. He's naughty, but I do think he's effective. He knows he crossed the line. I'd like to meet his mother. I'd like to meet his mom. She would keep because we like our boys to be nice and good and kind.
I think my mom bought me a Be Kind coffee mug for Christmas after this exchange. So here's what's really funny. My old co-host in Seattle, Danny O'Neill, who I hope is doing well. I enjoyed doing the show with him. Danny went to a Seahawks-Eagles playoff game, and right in front of Sal Palantonio of ESPN, who is basically an Eagles honk, like he tries to claim neutral bias. No, I remember what you were like during Spygate. You would have lost anyway, bitch, in Super Bowl 39. I was there. McNabb was puking up a storm. Signs didn't matter. But here is Danny O'Neill asking Jadeveon Clowney if he had anything to say to my mom.
I'm sorry to send your guys home today. How you doing, Kitchen? It's your boy JD Clowney here. I just come to say, bye, Eagles, bye. Not fly, Eagles, fly.
No, I'm joking.
Kitsy was a little worried or upset at last year's hit on Nick Foles.
Oh, she going to hate me this year, probably. I'm sorry, Kitsy, but I'm just playing a game. I had no intentions to hurt him.
Any parting words for Kitsy?
Any party words? Have fun in off season, Kitsy. I'll see you second round.
Oh, man. So I will love him forever for that. Truly, I always thought he was like fun person. I get that he didn't live up to the expectations of a number one overall pick, but I think anyone who makes it, as long as he's made it in the NFL, I don't think you can call him a bust. I think there's a lot of other guys that in that number one spot that you could say that about. So, Jadeveon Clowney is my favorite number 90, entirely because of that exchange. God, that was so funny. Bye, Eagles, bye. Sal Palantonio, right there. Witnessing him say, bye, Eagles, bye. Probably cried a little bit inside. Love it. Yeah, that's what happens when you go after the Pats, dude. That's what happens when you go after my guys, dude. Anyway, it is an Ask Glenn Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We are live at the Kima Boardwalk. I feel bad. One texter texted in. Walked the entire Kima Boardwalk. Did not see you guys. It's too hot to walk again, but good luck down there today. We're hanging out. Not on the actual boardwalk, thank God. I would be sweating, and I think our equipment would probably melt. It's a rather sunny and humid day, as they tend to get this time of year. But we are inside the Galaxy Adventure Party Room. So we're inside the arcade in the back room. Come out, say hi, and you can register to potentially win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. $4,000 value. You just got to stop by the promo table again in the back room with the Galaxy Adventure Party Room. Kima Boardwalk. What a hidden gem, seriously. I am kind of mad at myself that I've never come down here before. Didn't know it looked like this. Didn't know it was like this at all. It's great. Anyway, you know how to jump in on an Ask on Anything Friday. Coming up next, Dusty Baker is back in our lives. I love seeing this, and did an extension that a Houston sports coach just got mean another one should be getting his really soon? We will discuss. Stay put.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting from Kima Boardwalk as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
If
If you are watching along on YouTube or Twitch, you might see that I'm saluting. Now, most of that salute is directed towards all of those who fought for our country to save the world from evil on D-Day, June 6, 1944. But it's also partly to salute our former fearless leader, Dusty Baker, old Papa, ex-skipper of our beloved Houston Astros. He's back in the news. I always felt that Dusty got unfairly treated while he was here. He was second-guessed on a level that I feel that A.J. Hinch never was, despite valid reasons, too. Hell, I think there were times that he was second-guessed more than Joe Espada has been second-guessed to start his career as Astros manager. A book came out from baseball writer Scott Miller. It's called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. Dusty Baker and Cito Gaston, his longtime friend and former teammate, are featured in a chapter about how baseball hasn't really had many black managers. Hell, there's just two in the game right now. Very few opportunities are given to them. And at some point when talking about, I guess, that struggle, Baker, who definitely has a lot of tenure as far as baseball managers go, even if it didn't come with the success that everybody wanted, talked about some of the things that he did that were in direct contrast to what the Astros front office in 2022 wanted to do. By the way, they won a World Series in 2022. In direct opposition to, I guess, Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, the Astros, Letterman, Jacket, Skull and Bone Society. And on top of that, too, the general manager's office, which was led by James Click at the time. Here's what Dusty told Scott Miller. Quote, nobody wanted Yuli Gurriel to play. Nobody wanted Maldi to catch. The operations people didn't want Pena to bat second either. But I've got to do what I think is right. You know, I'm a numbers man, too. I've always used numbers. Always. But I don't use them 100%. There are no absolutes in this game. Yes, you're right. Period. Whether I go with my feelings or whether I go with numbers, there are no absolutes. Because the opposition can change your absolute formula by a blooper or a homer or a walk or whatever it is. That's true, Dusty Baker. I'm high-fiving you back. By the way, Dusty Baker invented the high five. You're right, BS Flea on the Twitch. He went a little bit further talking about those three decisions that he made during the 2022 World Series. The Yuli Gurriel decision was a ballsy one, considering, yes, Yuli had won the batting title the season before and was not so good in 2022. I remember going into 2022, everyone was excited that Yuli was in better shape than the season where he had hit .347 and been a gold glover. Like, it was an awesome season that he put together. And people were excited. Like, hey, he's in better shape now. And then he stunk, which just goes to show you that being in the sexiest shape as far as you can be does not necessarily mean you will be the best athlete you can be. But on Yuli Gurriel, I mean, struggling during the regular season. They didn't want to play him in the postseason, the Astros front office, but he hit .347 in the postseason. He hit .316 in the World Series, the five games that he started at first base, and he got hurt in Game 5. Honestly, thankfully, the Astros won in Game 6 because that could have been a problem. Meanwhile, he talked about the Martin Maldonado decision. This decision was my favorite one because, yes, a lot of metrics suggested that Maldi as a batter wasn't good, and it always felt like his defensive presence was overstated. And I felt this way at first, but then I saw so many people that were like dumping on Dusty Baker entirely because of Martin Maldonado usage. And by the way, Maldonado splitting time with Yiner Diaz, that's when Yiner Diaz has looked the best at the plate. Just saying. But anyway, to bring it back to his decision to play Maldi as much as he did, Maldi started 11 of 12 postseason games for the Astros in those World Series, where they did have, I think, Christian Vasquez as the alternative catcher if they wanted him. Game four was the one game that in the World Series Maldonado didn't catch. Vasquez caught a combined no-hitter. So some people were like, hey, why is Vasquez playing more? Maldonado hit just 207 and drove in two runs in the postseason. But he did start the winning rally in game six by crowding the plate and being hit by a pitch to start the sixth inning with the Astros trailing 1-0. So listen, man, Maldi doesn't play in those games. You know, it's a feeling thing. It's not a numbers thing. I'm going to side with Dusty Baker here. Do the Astros win the World Series? I don't know. You can't say that they would have, for sure. You can't. They won the World Series with Maldi. Would they have won it without him? You can't say for sure that they would have. And I love being able to throw that at the baseball dorks because I know that pisses them off so much. They get so mad about the idea that Maldi should play more. Defensive mastermind, Martin Maldonado. Meanwhile, the Jeremy Pena decision, Dusty Baker weighed in on that. Pena, the rookie shortstop, batted second the entire postseason, hitting safely in 11 of 12 games with four homers and eight RBIs. Became the first rookie to win American League Championship Series and World Series MVP honors in the same postseason. Yeah, he was awesome. Was it because he was batting second? I don't know. But obviously, he has been great in the leadoff spot. Baker said one of the reasons that he stuck with Pena in that two spot was based off of something that he had heard one-on-one from former Michigan football coach Bo Schembechler. Things you could see in a player's face helped sell him on Pena. He was out there with other young players, and like Bo said, you could see fear, you could see anxiety, or you could see that kid doesn't have a scared bone in his body. Or you can see intelligence, you can see heart. You can see it all by looking at his face. I don't know if I can see that, but hell yeah. Hell yeah. Dusty gets another victory lap. I know that Dusty Baker was far from a perfect manager, but I enjoyed Dusty when he was here. And I felt like he got a lot of an undue crap that other managers and other coaches in town haven't got. And, I mean, ultimately, he was pretty damn successful, no? I mean, didn't they go to an ALCS every single year? 2-2 in the ALCS, 1-1 in World Series? I mean, they didn't miss a beat without A.J. Hinch. That could have blown up tremendously in their face, and I do think that the role of a manager in baseball is overstated to a degree, but that could have blown up horribly. It didn't. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. It's an Ask on Anything Friday. From the 713, Paul, are you going to ride the Kima Bullet today down at the Kima Boardwalk? I don't know. Roller coasters scare me. All of them. Well-built ones or ones that look old. I'm not going to lie, this one looks a little bit old. Just a little bit.
Don't do it.
Don't do it?
Nah.
Have you been on it, AJ?
I'm from here, but I remember when I was like 6 or 7, yeah, it caught on fire.
So. It caught on fire?
Yeah, they had to rebuild and everything, so yeah.
Oh, my God. It caught on fire?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That... I'm never getting on a roller coaster again. How did it catch on fire?
I don't remember. I was young, but I remember just like it'll be on the news and everything like that. ABC 13.
Oh my god,
it was crazy.
Yeah, you can say that again. Imagine being on that while it catches fire. You might think it's like part of the ride. Like, no, you were in danger of dying. God, roller coasters scare me to an irrational degree. I'm going to hard pass, especially after that, AJ. Goodness gracious. I need to take a deep breath and collect my thoughts for a moment. I mean, oof. Anyway, it is an Ask on Anything Friday. Kugle says, don't be a bitch. No, I'm gladly staying a bitch here. I'm not getting on that. Come on, dude. What else do we have here on an Ask on Anything Friday? YouTube. At ESPN Houston, Twitch, at ESPN 975. We'll get to some more of your questions. Someone asked, can you call my job and give an excuse so I can get out of work so I can go to Kima? I'll buy drinks. Sadly, I'm not a doctor. Does that work? Does asking out of work, does a doctor's note work? Like, I can't forge a jury duty note either. I got in trouble for forgery in sixth grade. I told Kelly Murphy to shut up, and then I was ridden home about it, and I forged it thinking I would get away with it. I ended up getting detention for it. That was stupid in retrospect. Didn't really think that one through.
Probably should have just given my mom the awareness slip. It was a terrible looking signature too. I didn't even like trace it. It just looked like crap. Another texter says, "Paul, what's the hardest single position in sports?" that was an opportunity to do a Rise commercial, wasn't it? But Rise, RIIZE health.com, promo code 975 for 20% off the Reds max strips. The hardest single position in sports, I think it's quarterback. I mean, they pay you well for a reason. It's really hard to be one of the best ones. You're getting hit every single play. You're expected to play through injury. Sure, they definitely take care of you a little bit more these days and you get paid a lot, but I think it's quarterback. There's so few good ones. There's so few, even fewer great ones. It's that. Stick around. Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday live at the Kima Boardwalk. Come on out here as part of our summer circuit. You have a chance to register and win two brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company by registering at our promo table inside the Galaxy Adventure Party Room. Stick around.